And welcome back to Coast. J.M. DeBoard is known as the Rad Owl, the Reddit.com dream expert, author of a couple books about dreams, the Dream Interpretation Dictionary, and Dreams 1, 2, 3. He has touched millions of lives with his insights and answers. We'll touch yours as well when we take calls next hour, gaining him international acclaim for his ability to demystify dreams and their interpretation. He was on with me about almost, 4 years ago, JM? How time flies, huh?
Yeah, it sure does. It was November 5th, 2013. George, I tattooed the date on my arm.
It's good to have you back. How have you been?
Thank you. I've been great. The new book is selling really well. I've had a lot of speaking engagements and continuing the work at Reddit and loving life.
Good for you. Good for you. I just love talking about dreams. I mean, they're such powerful things. They're great tools. And it's just remarkable how many people will call you, JM, when we get into calls next hour, talking about their own specific dreams or even questions about them. But how long have you been specializing in this, and how did you get into this?
You know, it's been 25 years since I first picked up a book by Carl Jung and was just thunderstruck by it, fascinated by the way that he could explain the mind and how dreams are like a viewing station into what's going on in those very deep processes and also reflecting your life. So I got into it, and I didn't really go public with this until about 8 years ago when I joined Reddit and I found the Dreams Forum. You know, I'd talked to friends about their dreams, but until I went to Reddit and really started to engage with the people there, that's what made me realize that I had something special, that I have a way of explaining it that anyone can understand. It kind of strips out the jargon and the academic jargon that can come with dream interpretation, and really explain it in simple terms. So now that I started doing that, that led to my first book, Dreams 1, 2, 3, and then my agent got me another gig with another publisher, Visible Ink Press, and that led to the Dream Interpretation Dictionary. So it's been a 25 year adventure, George.
Does every dream, JM, have a message behind it?
No, and this is a great place to start because, you know, some people will have a meaningless dream. You know, it's one of those dreams where it's just imagery behind your eyes, and it usually occurs soon after you go to sleep. And they will jump from there to the idea or the conclusion that no dreams have meaning. Now, you know, I have two ways of being able to identify a meaningful dream. First of all, it's going to stand out to you. It's going to be memorable. You can dream in 8 hours of sleep. You can dream in the REM stage, the most vivid, intense dreaming stage of sleep, for up to about 2 hours, a quarter of the time. So out of all of that content, the most meaningful dreams, the ones with the messages that really need to get through to you, those dreams they need to stand out somehow. So they're going to be memorable. But here is the second part of it, George, is those, when you engage with the dream, when you immerse yourself in the story, when it affects you, that is when the dreams, I think, are the most meaningful.
Now, when you do that, are you doing it because you can control it and you're doing it intentionally, or does it just happen?
I think it just happens because the dreaming mind is such a great storyteller, and it can tell stories in a way that it knows are going to engage you. You know, your mind, your thoughts, your emotions, your spirit, everything will engage in the story. Think about when you were fully immersed in a dream. You are in a virtual reality, but you forget that there is any other reality, and you follow along with the story. You play along with it. You are like an actor who forgets that this is a movie. So when you fully immerse in that story and then you wake up the next morning and you go, wow, that was a really interesting dream. And I really followed along with it. And I have this strong sense that there was something there that was trying to be communicated to me. Well, now you've got a good clue that it's a dream to focus on, to interpret, and use a book like the Dream Interpretation Dictionary to look up the symbols and understand the story and figure out what the message of it is.
You outline in a very easy to comprehend way of looking at certain dreams. I was going through it yesterday and today where, you know, if you're falling, you have a little section there on what that means and those possibilities. How easy is it, though, without the book, for people to interpret their own dreams?
Well, you know, I think it has. You have to start with the. You have to know that dreams are meaningful and that there is something that is worth your time to do, worth your time and energy. I don't think that it's that difficult to do for most people as long as they can think in association. I was helping someone the other day with some dreams, and he had a background in improv comedy. And when I started explaining the way that dreams use associations to create symbolism, he ran with it. You know, he was able to catch on right away. Whereas I have more difficulty explaining it to people who are linear thinkers, people who, you know, it's from A to B to C, and they don't know how to be more imaginative and be intuitive and see the ways that dreams can make these connections, such as between falling and the idea of having the rug pulled out from underneath you, or falling and being in a fallen state of being. Or how about this one, George? When you're falling, you are between two places. And that could be a very clever way for the dream to say that you are between places in your life or between places in your personal development. So, you know, there are all kinds of very clever ways that dreams can tell stories. And I think that you need at least some basic training, which I give you in the book. I arm you with the information that you need to be able to figure it out for yourself.
Do we need dreams to kind of give us some inroad into what's going on in our lives? Why can't we just do it without dreaming? Why can't we just figure out, gosh, I'm at a crossroads in my life right now. I need to do X, Y, and Z. Why do we have to dream and let the dream tell us that?
Well, I think you can do a lot of it for yourself. If you spend time for, you know, self-reflection and introspection, you can do a lot of the processing that your dreams will do for you otherwise if you don't do it for yourself. But here's the thing is your dreaming mind is the dreams come from the unconscious mind. This is a part of yourself that is outside of your conscious awareness, and there are a lot of processes that go on behind the scenes in the unconscious. The unconscious is 95 to 99% of the total mind, according to neurologists, and depends on which one you ask. But this is the consensus. That means that 1 to 5% of your mind is conscious. So what dreams are doing, your dreaming mind is doing for you, is it's stepping back and it's giving you this big picture perspective. The dreaming mind is not as connected to what's going on with the day-to-day events of your life. Also, it's always observing. Nothing escapes its attention, whereas, you know, a lot of the sensory input that we get is actually filtered out. If we had to process all of the sensory information we were getting all the time, we would probably blow a fuse, you know, because there's so much of it. So we have this very narrow sort of not perception, but this, you know, we have to filter all of this stuff out. And so your dreaming mind is helping you by looking at the big picture of your life, telling you about the things that you missed, and helping you to put the pieces together and do the deeper layer of processing that your conscious mind normally doesn't unless you are a very deeply introspective person.
Well, we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with J.M. DeBoard as we talk about his latest work, The Dream Interpretation Dictionary. Next hour, we'll take your calls about dreams, but I've got much more to talk with him about when we come back. Welcome back. J.M. DeBoard with us as we talk about his work, The Dream Interpretation Dictionary. Do dreams interpret the future of our events, precognitive dreams?
They can. This is something that everyone can do also. But most people don't remember their dreams well enough to know that they can dream about the future. Now, I do know that dreams can seem like they are telling you the future, and they... It's not so much like looking into a crystal ball or something. It's really more of that the dreams are seeing where things are going in your life. They're very good. The dreaming mind is very good at stepping back and seeing where things are going and putting together patterns, identifying patterns. But I have so much experience with this now, George, with the dreams that can see the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, have you ever had that deja vu feeling where you walk in a place that you've never been before?
Many times. And as a matter of fact, lately, it's been happening more and more. I don't know what that means, but it's happening a lot now. To me,
I find that it means that you're connected in with something, that you're getting into a deeper layer, and you're able to kind of feel where the wind is going, and even dreaming very deeply about things that are coming up in your life.
Why is it that it doesn't happen often, but once it happens in streaks, and then it goes away again? What brings it back and forth like that?
I find that it has a lot to do with the ability to be able to pay attention, that we go through times in our lives when we are either very busy or we're just not tuned into what's going on in our deepest layers. So it's the same thing also with dream work. It'll kind of come and go. I have times when I remember a lot of dreams and they'll be very powerful and affect me very much. And then I have some times, you know, that I can go for long periods where I'm not really remembering much and I'm not giving my dreams as much attention. And my dreams seem to be okay with it. They understand that there are rhythms to life and that we have times when we need to sort of slow down and maybe focus on our external lives, and then other times that we can go, you know, more deeply into our internal lives.
What causes us to remember dreams or not remember them?
I think that it has a lot to do with the amount of emotion that comes out in the dream, that it's going to stand out to you in some kind of way. But there are other factors that go into it, such as the ability to be able to rouse yourself a little bit during the night. You know, people who are high dream recallers, one thing that they have in common is that they will wake more frequently during the night. And people who are low dream recallers, they share in common that they tend to sleep all the way through. And so what the rousing yourself a little bit and thinking about the dreams that you had in the middle of the night really helps to take those dreams out of the short-term memory where they are normally stored and pull them into a longer-term storage so that you will be able to better remember them when you wake up.
But these prophetic dreams, JM, how do we know that they are indeed prophetic? I mean, we need to learn how to recognize them, don't we?
I think that they have a feel to them. There is, you know, George, really, it comes down after a while, after you've been doing this for a long time and paying close attention to your dreams and tracking them and seeing the ones that are precognitive, they are showing you scenes from your future. These, you learn to see the patterns. You learn to feel your way through it. There's a little voice inside of you, like a spidey sense. You'll be like, okay, you know, this dream, I'm going to really pay, you know, remember this because it seems to show me something that's coming up in the future. But what I find is that you need to be very careful, because you will dream about something like a car accident or a plane wreck, mm-hmm. or something like that. And you'll think, wow, you know, could this really happen? You know, but you need to look for the personal symbolism in the story. These dreams that are precognitive, they can be told metaphorically. They can be told symbolically. But what I found is that usually they are very close to reality. If you get that tingly feeling, you know, that deja vu feeling just before you're about to cross a busy street,
yep.
I suggest that you make sure you look twice both ways.
That's right. Don't go. Don't jump out there.
Yeah. The book, The Gift by Sally Rhine, from the Rhine Institute,
yep.
She documents hundreds of these cases. And as you go through them, you start to see the commonalities between them.
Is there a mechanism within the human body that allows us to do this? That this is not paranormal or supernatural at all, but it's just a physical part, almost like radar in your body?
The body and the mind work together as a system, and there are processing centers, nerve bundles that are in the body. It's why you feel love around the heart and you feel anxiety or fear in the gut, because that's actually where those emotions are being processed. So having said that, I think that the body could act as maybe like an antenna or a processor that's pulling in some kind of a signal. But I think that precognition really goes back to Einstein's theory of non-locality, that everything in the universe is in a way, it's not in a fixed position, and it is all connected together by this very mysterious thing. This is something that physicist Russell Targ told me personally. I asked him, I was like, Russ, you've been studying this for years. You're a physicist. You worked for Stanford Research Institute. Yep. Tell me how precognition works. And he said, you need to go back to Einstein's theory of non-locality, because what's happening is the dreaming mind is not attached to linear time and space the way that the conscious mind is. So while you're dreaming, there is a part of the mind that is able to detach from present day and time and space, and it is able to go ahead in the future or look back into the past and gain information that there is no other way you would be able to know it.
Can people die in their dreams? And I don't mean physically die, but can they die in the dream? And if they do, what does that mean?
Well, you know, I was just speaking with a friend before I came on the air. He's a big fan of the show, and he had a dream about jumping off of a cliff into some water, and he died in the dream.
See, sometimes we wake up before we hit the bottom or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. We usually do because we jolt ourselves awake. We don't want to experience that hitting bottom, but you know, I told you about a experience I had where I actually hit the bottom in a dream, and I woke up feeling like I had really, you know, I mean, I was sore.
That you hit the bottom.
Yeah, and I'd really hit the bottom, but, you know, of course I didn't die, but there was this kind of like a fade to black scene in the dream, and then you just sort of sit there in that Bardo state, and you go, wait, okay, I'm still here. What's going on? And what I found is that was a great metaphor for hitting bottom personally in my life. And there's only one way to go from there, you know, which is up. So, you know, the death in a dream tends to be symbolism for something. For the friend of mine who's the fan of your show, he was telling people, hey, I committed suicide, I died, but I turned out great. And it turned out that it reconnected back with an experience in his life where he left the line of work. He took a big leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
All of his friends and family were telling him it was a big mistake. He needed to stay on the, you know, the steady path. And he decided to take a risk, and it turned out okay, which is shown in the dream of him emerging from the water and realizing that everything is fine.
I used to have a strange dream when I was in my 20s. I was in college at the University of Detroit. I was going in a broadcast degree. And in my third year, I got a full-time job at a television station. So what I had to do was switch my majors all to night classes so I could go to work during the day. So I did that, and I got my degree. I promised my father, I said, I'm going to get my degree in the 4 years, Dad, don't worry. And I did. I got my degree in broadcasting, a Bachelor of Arts, and I kept my career going, and everything was fine. Then I started having these dreams, JM, that I was 2 credits short of getting my diploma. And I'm telling you, this was the strangest recurring dream I've ever had in my life, ever had, that I would wake up in a cold sweat, panicking, and I would have to go to bed with my college diploma by my bedside so I could look at it in the morning when I had one of those dreams. Now, what the heck does that mean?
Well, the boat that you're in is a big one. There are a lot of people who are in it with you. This is a very common theme, either of the, you know, you were just short of graduation. There's a big exam. You show up on exam day. You're not prepared for it. I had very similar dreams when I was writing my first book, and it was specifically, I hadn't graduated, I'm back, I have to get more classes in to be able to graduate, and there was a lot of anxiety that came with those dreams, and they connected with me feeling like I wasn't really ready or fully prepared for what came next. I was writing a book, and I had come out of a background in media and journalism, you know, short-form writing, maybe a couple thousand words, and there I am with a 60,000-word manuscript in my hand and a deadline that I'm facing. So look at the dream. When you have a dream like that, simplify it. Step back from it. What is it simply saying? If you are back in school and you haven't graduated yet, it's a way of saying, I feel like I'm unprepared for something. There's maybe a gap in my knowledge, or maybe it goes into skills. maybe it's even not so much an academic thing, but maybe it's more like life skills of some kind, you know, like the ability to be able to manage your time or, you know, to stop procrastinating or something like that. It depends on the person, of course, but I find that it usually connects back to that feeling that you're not prepared for something.
Can you share a dream with somebody? Is that conceivable? Share dreams?
Absolutely it is. And this has been done in controlled environments at Monroe Institute and also through the International Association for the Study of Dreams. They have done experiments with this that had outstanding results. I really watch out for these kinds of dreams because at Reddit, I am seeing all these reports of dreams, and I've been doing this for years, so I keep track of them, and especially the ones that seem to be, some kind of paranormal thing to it, and there are many people who have reports of sharing dreams. I just ran across one the other day where there was a young man who dreamed that he met his uncle at a McDonald's. His uncle had died before the dream, some months before. And
in real life, the uncle had died.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, in real life, the uncle had died. And so they meet up at McDonald's right down from the street from where the uncle used to live. And they have this great meeting. And the uncle's like, hey, look, I'm okay. Everything's fine. It was a very real conversation. Dreams usually veer off into the surreal. And this was very, real conversation. So he tells his dad about it, and he said that his dad just kind of quickly got off the phone. A couple days later, his mom calls him and says, that dream really shook up your dad because he had the exact same dream. It was in the exact same location. It was featuring his brother, your uncle, and it had the same message to it, that the uncle said, I'm okay in the afterlife, and I hope you guys are getting along okay too.
It's amazing.
I mean, what are the odds? I've got others like this. There was one that was a family that were all at the Yabisu Gardens. Well, it starts off. If we have a moment, I'll go into this with you. With the
yeah, please go ahead.
Dream. Okay. The family is. Okay, so it starts off. There's a young man. He comes to Reddit. He tells me about a dream where he was in they live in New Jersey. They went to, in the dream, he goes with his family members to Central Park, and there's this great big stone structure. It's rectangular. It's as tall as a skyscraper, and it's hollow inside. It's like a gateway or a doorway. So there are these technicians. They're plugging in these things like big power cables and Ethernet cables and stuff like that. They flip the switch, the power comes on, and then the empty air in the middle of this gateway then starts forming these colors like paint, and it's forming in the colors, then it forms in the shape, and then there are all these people at Central Park who are looking through this thing, and they see Tokyo, Japan form on the other side at Yabisu Gardens. So it's a famous a monument in Tokyo, or place in Tokyo. So the family members step through the gateway, and they get to the other side. Now they're in Tokyo, and they look around, and they see their dad sitting off to the side on a bench. And their dad's like, hey, great to see you. They get back together, and they go off, and they continue their family vacation. Now, in reality, what had happened a week prior to the dream was the family was in Tokyo. They did visit the gardens, and dad, as a businessman, had to go off on some kind of business, so the family flew home back to New Jersey. Son comes downstairs. Mom's cooking breakfast. He tells mom about the dream. Mom says, that's amazing. I had the same dream. We were together as a family. We went to Central Park. There was this big stone gateway. It teleported us to Tokyo. We met up with your dad. We continued the vacation. So then his brother and sister come down, and they had the exact same dream with the exact same details. Now, later in the day, he's talking to his dad. Tokyo's way behind in time as far as, the difference between East Coast time. So while they were awake, their dad was sleeping. He gets home from school. Now his dad's awake. He talks to dad. He tells dad about the dream, and dad's like, wow, that's amazing. I had a dream that I decided to take a day off of work. I went to Yabisu Gardens. I'm sitting there off to the side at the bench. There's a big stone gateway there that teleports people from New York to Tokyo, and out steps you and your mom and your brother and sister, and we all got together and we continued our vacation. So now you have five members of the same family who all had the exact same dream, but the exact same detail, except each member of the family saw the dream from their own perspective.
Do governments have the capability of having dream experts get into somebody's dream to do them harm? For example, are we right now trying to get into Kim Jong-un's dreams, the leader of North Korea, to make something happen to him?
I would hope that we're trying to send him, you know, calm and peaceful messages if we are, because, you know, that's a real hairy situation there. But, you know, you asked me about this last time I was on your show,
yep.
And I went off on an adventure to find the best sources that I could about this. And I have one came from a shaman that I have seen personally, and I trust him. He has come up with remarkable information in the past. And I asked him, and he said, you know, I can enter into other people's dreams and they can come into mine. I do it for a healing purpose. Oftentimes it's spontaneous. I'll be dreaming. Somebody will come to me. They'll tell me their problem. And then I will, you know, do what I do as a shaman to help them with it. So he did say that it could be done. He would not give me any more information on it because he said that this is, you know, this is kind of the secret formula here. It could be misused in the wrong hands. I also talked to someone who was in an esoteric school. This is one of these places people go where it's halfway up the side of a mountain and you have a guru and you spend hours in meditation, mm-hmm. and they are teaching you all of these arts of the mind. And he said that there was a conflict at one point between the student and the teacher, and the teacher was actually entering into the student's dream like a banshee and doing all these weird things to him, which I thought was very weird for a guru to do. You'd think they'd be more enlightened. But I found out something recently about remote influencing. Now, I know you've mentioned remote viewing many times.
Sure.
There are actually programs for influencing people by using the same ability for remote viewing, except for by remote influencing. And basically, you are opening a connection to the person, and you are sending feelings and imagery to them. But there is a protocol for it. You have to be very careful because this thing can backfire on you very easily. And, you know, we talked last time about this, and I think that it would be easy for somebody to try something nefarious like that for it to backfire on them. But, hey, you know, the government throws a lot of money at a lot of different things, and it wouldn't surprise me if they were at least trying it, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were successful at it. There has to be some black ops, deep secret program somewhere
still,
where they've got a room full of people who are very highly trained in some of these remote viewing arts. They're going into a lucid dream type of state, and they're picturing their target, and they're doing everything that they can to send vibes at them.
JM, when we come back, let's talk about night terrors, and also we'll take some phone calls as we talk about the Dream Interpretation Dictionary. Some people are terrified by their dreams, night terrors. In a moment, JM DeBoard with us. We'll talk with him about that. And then later on, we will take your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And George Norrie back with you along with JM DeBoard, the Dream Interpretation Dictionary. Where do we get this book, JM?
You know, it's all over right now. It was the number one new book in dreams when it was a new release at Amazon. So it's
beautiful.
At Barnes and Noble. Yeah, that was a good feeling, man. I put a lot of work
into
that book. And, you know, it was at Target. I do like to make sure that the indies, like Books A Million and IndieBound,
mm-hmm.
I know that they're carrying it. So I want to make sure that they get a little plug, too.